Okay, I think we can get started. Are there people on the phone line? Okay, do we have people on the phone line? I guess we'll work on that, figuring that part out. Okay, well, let's get this meeting started. Welcome, everyone. This is the non-commercial stakeholder group meeting, and my name is Robin Gross, and I am the chair of the non-commercial stakeholder group, and I thought we could just take a quick moment to go around the room and everyone to introduce themselves and their affiliation. Glenn, you want to start, please?
You bet. Glenn Reichert, U.S. Ignite.
Wendy Seltzer, Yale Law School Information Society Project, and NCSG Counselor.
Sir, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm George Esarisechi, work with Montreal Technologies in Ghana. Thank you.
David Cake, Electronic Frontiers Australia, and NCUC Exec Committee.
Sorry, Konstantinos Komaitis, University of Strathclyde, and Chair of the Non-Commercial Users Constituency.
Hello, I am Bakare Njai, Internet Society of Gambia.
I'm Maria Farrell, NCUC, and also a new Director of the Open Rights Group in the UK, which isn't a direct member at the moment, but hopefully will be soon.
Debbie Hughes from American Red Cross and NCSG Counselor.
Michael Carson from the YMCA and MPLC member.
Don Blumenthal from the Public Interest Registry.
I'm Fatima Tasso, a ward.
I'm Nafisa Tumboj, Executive Director of SchoolNet Africa.
Hello, I'm Susan Anthony from the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Beth Bacon from NTIA, Department of Commerce. Can you not hear it?
I'm Beth Bacon from the United States Department of Commerce, NTIA.
I'm sorry, can you do that in the microphone so we can get in the record, please?
It wasn't working.
It's not working
it
anymore?
Is it working?
It's working.
Is it working?
Beth Bacon from the United States Department of Commerce, NTIA.
Okay. Is that everyone in here? Great. Thank you all for coming. And who do we have on the line? Okay, it says some people are saying there's a problem with the phones and they can't hear us. We need to check with our remote participation operator. Who's our remote participation operator? Do we have one? Are you it? Okay. Okay, so you're working on it. You're our remote participation operator? Okay. Great.
So I see in the Adobe room at least Lauren Bowers, Alain Beranger, Amber Sterling, Brendan Kurbis, Bill Drake, and perhaps more people. Welcome.
Well, I see. It's logged in through over the internet, but not on the conference number.
Yeah, it's got a difficulty with the number.
I apologize. We have been getting incorrect information all week. So
yeah.
Can you verify that the passcode is the MCSG?
Yes. So people on the phone line should try to join the Adobe Connect if they're so we can hear them in the interim. Is that what you're saying? Now this brought up the old Adobe Connect. Okay. That's okay. I know how it's been a crazy week. Like the
virtual meeting room, that thing?
Yes.
AdobeConnect.com/DKR42- and then the name of this room, it starts with a Z and I can't pronounce.
Zequinchor. Thank you so much. Okay, let's quickly go over the agenda that we can work on today. So we don't have much time at all, unfortunately, and we need to go to meet with the board later this afternoon. That meeting is at 3:30, and it's in another room, B/C12, and it's an entirely different call-in number, and it's an entirely different Adobe Connect number. And it'll probably take us 15 minutes or so to make our way over there to begin with. So we'll have to end in here at 3:15 to be over there at 3:30 or so. So we've just got a few things on our agenda. We've got a few policy issues that are currently before the GNSO, and we thought we'd spend a few minutes talking about today the amendments to the RAA issue. There's a vote on that this week, and then we can talk about the PDP work team. UDRP reform is an issue that we've heard a lot about in the last few months and we'll continue to hear more about. And then we've also had a request from the Red Cross and the Olympics for special rights in the top-level domain name space, and so we need to talk about how we want to respond to that. Can you hear me? Hello? People on the line?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Who do we have on the line? Can we get some names on the line, please? I'm sorry, can you say that again? I know, it's frustrating. Okay. We're working on that. Let's see if the Adobe Connect is up. It looks like in the Adobe Connect we have 24 participants. Is that right? Okay. Great. So they're in the Adobe Connect. They're just not on the phone line, it sounds like. All right. So, and then the last thing we can do is prepare for our meeting with the board with the remainder of our time. So let's talk about the first issue that...
Excuse me?
Yes.
I'm sorry, did you want to start the recording now?
I thought you already had. Okay. Yes. Please start the recording now. Yes.
Excuse me, I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
What do we do?
We're recording it here, but as far as getting connected, the Adobe Connect is there. The translation will only start now, as far as the transcribing.
Okay. And can people in the Adobe Connect participate?
Yes,
the audio, they can speak in the Adobe Connect?
The Adobe Connect and the stream have always been up.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Verizon Bridge.
Okay.
It was not.
Okay. Okay, so we should be able to hear the people talking in the Adobe Connect room.
Correct.
Okay, so...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, not in the Adobe Connect. We have to. In that room. That room is always text only.
So if, how do we hear people talking that are participating remotely? Okay, so yes, I need to give you guys a new phone number to dial into if you want to talk. And again, I apologize for some of these connection issues. It's been like that so far for much of the week. So we're working on it, and we'll have a call-in number so people can dial in. Apparently, the number they gave us before isn't working for folks. And you can always type into the Adobe Connect chat in the meantime as well. So, okay, well, let's get started while they dig up the number that people can call into. And let's first talk about the amendments to the RAA. So the Registrar Accreditation Agreement is an agreement that people have said we need to get some amendments into that agreement, and we had a motion that is currently before the council for a vote this week that would include a number of issues that are considered high and medium level priority for amendments to make into the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. So, excuse me, let me just go back. I've just been given the number for people to dial into. If you'd like to speak, and I hope you will, it is 1-866-692-5726, and the code is NCSG. And I'll say this again, and Konstantinos will type it into the Adobe Connect room so people in the Adobe Connect room can actually see it. Again, it is 1-866-692-5726, and the code is NCSG. And maybe, Konstantinos, if you could also send that to the mailing list, the main mailing list, so people can get that number via email. And again, we're sorry that we've been given lots of incorrect contact details and start time details and such that turns out to be changed. And so it's a bit confusing, but let's go forward nonetheless. Okay, so on the RAA amendments, actually, I was hoping that Wendy, as the drafter of these proposed amendments to the amendments, to the could and as our only NCUC counselor, GNSO counselor in the room, if she could explain what the amendments are that we are putting forward and how that works, Wendy.
Thank you. So this is another piece in a sort of long-running discussion of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement and the process for amending that agreement. At the moment, there's a motion on the table, which is sort of the third iteration of motions that have come up and been voted down by a block vote of the contracted parties' house. That's a motion to adopt a process for amending the RAA that would have the proposed agreement that all registrars sign come before the GNSO Council for a vote before becoming a finalized contract. This is coming up again before Council. The process would be that the negotiations get done by registrars and ICANN Council, not without the without public observers, but that the final contract would come before the GNSO Council for review. At the moment, the motion on the table is to recommends the adoption of various items identified as high priority items in a working group that was reviewing proposed changes to the registrar accreditation agreement, and those we are planning to propose an amendment to this motion to divide the procedural from the substantive aspects here, to say we are fully on board with a procedure that would be more open and transparent. We do not endorse all of the changes that are proposed as high priority items for adoption, because some of those are things like the restriction of privacy and proxy services and other changes that would go against substantive issues that NCUC has supported in the past. If we'd like to discuss those issues more fully, I would be happy to refer to the specifics.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, who's speaking?
Pardon
me?
Hello?
Hello, could you please say your name? Oh, wonderful. Please, go ahead. Sierra Leone. Okay, let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. You're wanting to see ICANN focus more on development issues? I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing. It's a very low volume call, and so if you could speak up. Is that what you're saying? You'd like to see ICANN more focused on development issues? Did I hear that?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What we're having our discussion on right now is the Registrar Accreditation Agreement and the particular motion that's before the council this week, up for a vote for amendments to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. So it sounds like you're talking about something different, and we're right now looking for comments and input on the Registrar Accreditation Agreement and the amendments that have been proposed. So if anyone, either on the call or in this room physically, would like to speak to this issue, the RAA motion, please raise your hand and let us know if there's anyone who can speak to this issue. Hello, yes. I'm sorry, did you have a comment on the Registrar Accreditation Agreement? Do you have a comment on the Registrar Accreditation Agreement motion before the council this week? Thank you. Okay, so does anyone else have any comments on the amendments that we're proposing this week? What? On the RIA? Nobody?
I'm trying to catch up.
So okay. Okay. What are we doing? We're talking about the RAA motion this week.
Right.
And seeing if anyone has any comments on the motion or... And
so
Wendy's already...
I'll just... Procedurally... what's likely to happen in council is I'm just completing my draft of some proposed amendments to send to Christina and Debbie as the proponent and seconder of the motion to ask whether these are friendly amendments. If not, and I discussed them with Christina a bit earlier, she said she was unlikely to consider them as friendly. But I am interested in raising them as an amendment before the council, even if as an amendment to be voted on in the event that they're not friendly. And we will then traditionally vote on the amendment and then one way or the other vote on the underlying motion.
Thanks. I just note that Bill in the Bill Drake, the NCUC GNSO counselor who's participating remotely, has expressed his support for the amendments that Wendy has drafted. Okay, so we're going to start a queue here for people who want to speak to this issue. And so far I've got Debbie Hughes from the American Red Cross. Debbie, go ahead, and then Mary.
Thanks. I haven't seen the amendments. I'm sorry. I've been having intermittent email access and challenges with my work email. So if you could send them, I'll send you an email from my Yahoo email. If you could send it there, I'll take a look. Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Mary, did you have a comment?
It goes back to the procedural stuff, because as Wendy says, if the amendment is not accepted as friendly, then I believe the practice is then the council votes. Actually, no. If it's not accepted as friendly, then do we still vote? Do we force?
We would vote on the amendment, and the amendment would be accepted or rejected,
right.
And then we would continue to vote on the motion.
And so my follow-up was, thank you for clarifying that, because I had a moment where my brain just melted. I was thinking maybe this is not relevant at all. So if that happens, then we would go back to a vote on the original motion that Debbie seconded. And it may be worth us talking a little bit here, since a few of the councillors had talked briefly about this, and Bill had sent some comments, because in the past when we've had similar motions come up before the council, we voted in favor of the motion. And our primary reason has been because we felt it was important that there was community input into the process of amending the RAA. And we knew that the contracted parties would always vote no, that they would want to negotiate their amended agreements with ICANN without having community participation during the process. So that still is a big concern for us, and I guess what I'm asking then is, if we go back to a vote on the original motion, given that we're proposing amendments, does that mean that some of us will be voting against the motion in contrast to the past?
Does anyone have anything to say on that? I mean, I've got some views that I'd be happy to share, but I'd prefer to hear from others first. Okay, so I think there's two separate issues. There's the issue of whether or not the GNSO is the forum for making these kinds of amendments, and the participation from the community that Mary spoke of. So that's one issue. And there's a second issue, which is the actual substance of the recommendations and the kinds of changes that they would make with the agreement. And I think that it's the second part. It's the substance of the RAA amendments that have been proposed. It's in this final report, the RAA final report dated October 18th, 2010. If anyone would like to go look at it, it's a 180-page document, written in typical ICANN fashion. So what you really need to do is pay attention to pages 20 and 21 of that document, because that lists the items that have been considered high and medium priority, things that this group will then go and try to make amendments in accordance with the issues that are listed on those pages. And that's the part that once some of us realize just what was contained in those, the substance of these recommendations, sort of got our hair on end. Things like killing privacy rights and taking down domain names if there's any inaccurate information, and requiring registrars to investigate their customers, and you know, all sorts of things that non-commercial users have fought very much against over the years here at ICANN. And so now that we've realized that this is what has been put forth into the council, some of us are like, wow, we can't possibly do this. This is in complete contrast to everything we've ever done in the past and all the statements we've ever made about the importance of privacy and due process rights and things like that. So a number of us are concerned about this and would like to vote no on the overall motion if our amendments don't succeed. And I doubt they will, because I'm sure the IPC is, and the commercial stakeholder group will be against them, and the contracted parties is against this whole motion for the reasons Mary stated, which again is an entirely separate issue. So there's a good chance that these amendments will not pass, and we will go back to the original motion, which contains all these scary things. So I think that a number of us will be voting no on if that particular motion is the one that goes forward to the council. So did anyone, Mary?
And I realize that this is a risk, but I wonder if, and obviously I think that we need to make some kind of statement during that in case the contracted parties misinterpret a no vote from some councillors who have voted yes to similar motions in the past. I think that a statement that's on the record as to the reason for a changed vote, or at least perhaps a surprising vote, would be useful on the record, so that we're not then interpreted as saying, well, now we don't mind that they can go off and negotiate in secret. I think that's helpful. The other part of this is, to the extent that we know it's going to be shot down by the contracted party's house, would that statement be sufficient? I realize that there have been some further thoughts within the group since the last motion, and I'm not trying to persuade people to change their minds. I'm just urging all of us to to the extent that some this vote might come as a surprise, to make sure that there is a very clear statement and explanation of what it is that we're concerned about, so that that doesn't get misinterpreted, particularly by the contracted parties.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that, and I agree we should make a statement about why we would vote no and what are the particular issues that we have, and highlighting them in particular. I bet a lot of people in the audience would be surprised to find out what the actual substance, if you dig down into the details, to find out just what it is we're voting on here. So I think it would be helpful, very helpful, for us to explain our rationale for why we would want to do that. Did anyone else have anything to say on this issue? Anyone on the call participating remotely? Okay. Doesn't look like it. So let's go on to the next issue on the agenda, which is the other issue that is up for a vote on in the council this week, the PDP working group and their task force that they've come up with. They've been working on trying to reform the PDP process, and so they've come up with a whole new PDP means policy development process, for those of you who are relatively new to ICANN. So it's trying to rework the policy development process, in particular as a result of the GNSO restructuring. So we've got this motion that's up as well. Do we have people who can, particularly counselors, who can speak to this particular? Debbie, is this something you can speak on to the PDP work team vote for this week? Okay, you're not in that one. Okay, Mary.
Actually, the best people will probably be those of our members, aside from the counselors who were involved. I don't know if anybody is on the call, but essentially, as Robin said, this has been a work in progress for a long time. We've had very active participation from, I think, our whole stakeholder group. And when talking about it with some of us, and this is something for the members to direct us on, it seemed that this is one very encouraging occasion, and going forward, it would be really good if what happened in this working group was followed, in that there were several opportunities for public comment. And at each stage, when there were public comments, the team went back and looked at those comments and addressed them or incorporated them or in some way took account of them. And therefore, the final report is a process that is somewhat collaborative, taking into account public comment. Aside from that, I think that many of the recommendations really does improve the existing PDP process. So I, speaking for myself now, I don't see any reason not to support the motion.
Any other counselors in particular want to talk about this motion, if they're going to vote for it or against it, and why that might be?
This is Wendy, and I'm inclined to vote for the motion. I think that it does good things to improve the policy development process. And
great. Thank you, Wendy, I really appreciate that. And I want to note in the chat that Bill says that he agrees about explaining the need to list the specific problems that we have on the RAA motion. Okay, Bill, was there something else you wanted said that hasn't been said? Please type it in. Okay. Okay, so sorry about that little detour there back to RAA. Any other comments on the PDP work team? Debbie, please.
Yes, I'm inclined to vote as well. I mean, the overview that they gave over the weekend seemed reasonable, although I wasn't been, you know, intricately involved in the development work. Sounds very reasonable.
Konstantinos?
Yes, I just want, I have to take you back to the PDP, sorry, but Bill is asking, does the IPC realize that refusing to accept the amendments will lose votes and send the motion down in higher flames?
I suspect you'd have to ask the IPC what they realize. I don't read their minds. Has anyone had any conversations with the IPC on this issue and can discuss what they've had to say about it? We're back to RAA again, apparently.
Are we talking about the CSG or the IPC?
Bill says IPC.
And what was his question? I'm sorry.
He says, does the IPC realize that refusing to accept the amendments will lose votes and send the motion down in higher flames, or the CSG more generally?
I would imagine that's pretty obvious, so although I haven't had any conversations, I think that they know that, or not a moment's reflection will mean that they know that. But I believe from the limited conversations I've had since Saturday, not on this specific issue of the changes we're proposing since the language hasn't gone over, the idea during the Saturday sessions was that a door was opened to the contracted parties to come back with a friendly amendment that would address our transparency concerns, for example. So I would hazard a guess that the thinking is that if there is to be a friendly amendment, it should come at least at first from the contracted parties so that the thunder isn't stolen from the basic point of the whole motion, which was going to die anyway.
Okay, thank you. Did anyone else have anything to say on these issues? If not, I'd like to go on to the next issue. We have to move along. We're very short for time. And one of the more hotly contested issues coming up here at ICANN is UDRP review and possibly reform. And this is an issue that's been very close to non-commercial users' hearts over the years. And we have been pretty active in the last 6 months or so talking with other stakeholder groups about the different ways that the UDRP could be improved and how we could look at that. Actually, I'd like to turn this part of the conversation over to Konstantinos because he is someone who is extremely, extremely knowledgeable on the UDRP and has been working on a lot of the comments that we've put forward. So, Konstantinos, why don't you talk about can you explain to us what it is that we've been asking for with respect to UDRP review here at ICANN?
Yes, we also, this is Konstantinos, we also had this conversation this morning at the NCUC meeting. So as many of you may or may not know, the issue of the UDRP reform was brought before the council. And since for a year now almost that this issue has been brought up, there have been three noteworthy occasions whereby discussions of the UDRP have taken place. The first was a webinar, the second was a workshop during the ICANN meeting in Singapore, and the ICANN staff produced the report that was sent to the GNSO. And now the issue is whether the UDRP is going to be amended, or will be reviewed better yet, sorry, not amended, and when this review is actually going to take place. From various discussions, it appears that the majority is not against the review. There is an issue of timing, though, when this review should happen. At the GNSO Council during the Saturday and the Sunday sessions, there were discussions that maybe we should wait for 18 months. I mean, a figure of 18 months was heard, especially because the new GTLDs are about to roll out and some rights protections mechanisms have... and we don't know how the new rights protection mechanisms, basically the URS and in a much lesser extent the PDDRP, are going to play out because they have been based both on the UDRP. So that's where we are. When it comes to the issues with the UDRP, they're both substantive and procedural. I think that the people, well, the GNSO and ICANN seem to be more afraid, and I always put afraid in quotes because it's not a lack of a better word right now, to touch the substantive issues, and they seem more amenable to the procedural issues. I am not going to start detailing what each one of these issues are. The only thing that I would like to say is that the UDRP is the oldest policy that ICANN has. The UDRP has never been reviewed in the past 12 years, And it is very important that at least we determine whatever everybody thinks when the UDRB should be reviewed. Those who actually agree that the UDRB should be reviewed, we need to put a time frame that well, the GNSO needs to agree on a time frame, because the same discussions were taking place back in 2003 and 2000, between 2002 and 2003, and the issue was postponed, and here we are now in 2011, and the issue is still being discussed. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Konstantinos. Is there somebody on the line who wanted to speak to UDRP review? Okay, is there anyone in the Adobe chat who has made some comments on the issue? Doesn't look like it. Okay. So let's go on to the next issue then, which is, oh, Mary's got a comment.
It's not so much a comment, but we're reviewing the final agenda for the council meeting tomorrow, and I think we've put in an item to discuss this. So it's just a note. Obviously, there's nothing up for vote at this meeting. It will probably be the next meeting. So the second point would be, between now and the next policy call and the next council meeting, I think our group should discuss what it is that we would want to push forward, because there are some of the other groups who are amenable to a review, but perhaps not at this time, but do not want to postpone a vote. They want something that happens at a time certain. So it may be worth us thinking about our position or possible alternatives that we can be happy with, and talking to some of those other groups about it before the next council meeting. But there is a discussion item tomorrow if anybody wants to speak to that. Mm-hmm. At least I'm typing it out now.
Yeah. No, I think that would be great, actually. I think that would be a really good opportunity for members to make statements, to take the floor. It's an open meeting. Anyone can take the floor, and anyone can give their two cents on how they feel about the UDRP and where they see improvements could be made. And I definitely would encourage you to do that, because this is, as Konstantinos has noted, one of ICANN's oldest policies, 12 years, and certainly one that everyone who registers a domain name, it touches upon. So it affects, you know, millions and millions of people. And so it's actually a really important policy. And I think it'd be important for non-commercial users and perspective of civil society to be vocalized in these public forums on this issue. Did anyone else have anything on the UDRP review issue? Okay, doesn't look like it. Speak now or forever hold your peace, because we need to move on to the next subject. Okay. So the next subject is another motion, or excuse me, not motion, but another issue that is making its way through the GNSO right now, and that's an a request from the Red Cross and the Olympics committees for special rights in the top-level domain name space. And this was something that the GAC had been got involved in. And so does anyone here have any comments? I know we had a lot of discussion on the mailing list on this issue. We had it was, frankly, really great to see all of the participation and the new members vocalizing their perspectives. And I mean, it's really exciting to see so many new perspectives and participants engaging with the NCSG and the GNSO policy development process in general. So did anyone have anything they wanted to say on this issue, on the Red Cross and the Olympics request? Anyone? Mary does.
Okay, and Dave, so I'll pass it over real quick. Just the note that the proposal is to form a working group task force, whatever it is, And that proposal has been discussed within the council and seems to have some support. So obviously, if this goes forward, and as those of you who were at the GAC meeting on Sunday will note that the GAC was not too impressed by the idea of a joint group at the moment. They wanted some of the GNSO's proposals and recommendations sent over to them in a document. Obviously, I think the council will continue to talk about that, but we, to the extent that we have members interested in those issues, there will be work that will come out of the council on that, so keep a watch out for it, or at least opportunities to contribute.
Mary, sorry, David, for jumping in. A very quick question. I wasn't clear, and that's me not hearing most probably. Is the working group, if it's going to be formed, will it be comprised only of council members or anyone can join?
I don't think it will be comprised just of council members simply because that's not the working group model. I will note two things. One is that it will not be a typical working group with a charter and everything, I don't think, because the term itself and the process would be problematic for the GAC. But I would be very surprised if it was limited only to council members.
I just wanted to... I'm generally supportive of the idea that we have a working group or similar. I think there's some definite... There's definitely some strong arguments in the proposal, but there's also a lot of stuff that is clearly not... The GAC letter misrepresents particularly the Treaty of Nairobi, so I think we need to do a lot more. We need to have a working group or something that drills down a lot further than the GAC letter does into the details. I mean, the point is the Treaty of Nairobi protects the... which they have used as their major justification on the Olympics, protects not the word Olympic or Olympiad, it protects the five ring symbol, which is quite separate. And it's a completely separate set of legislation that they're talking about. It's very confused. The detail is not adequate. We need a proper working group to look into this in much more detail.
Great. I've got Debbie in the queue, and which is good because we've got a question from Bill, who's participating remotely, and he's wondering why the mechanisms that are applicable to others do not adequately or do not provide adequate protection for the Red Cross and the Olympics. So go ahead.
Thanks, Bill. You queued it up perfectly for me, and I have a statement that the American Red Cross would love to share. So thank you for the opportunity to speak to the GNSO Council and to the NCSG. As you're aware, the Red Cross and Red Crescent movement is protected by a unique layer of protective privileges for the emblems and the word designations. However, here we're talking about our word designations. The Red Cross and Red Crescent movement, its emblems, and its designations provide assurances to communities and victims of disaster that help is on the way. The Red Cross has looked at and carefully considered the nature of these protections and thinks that there's no other organizations with this unique level of protective privileges. As you know, the Red Cross, Red Crescent movement is protected by both the Geneva Conventions and a unique tapestry of national legislations in more than 100 jurisdictions. The Red Cross, Red Crescent movement provides help and assistance based on the generosity of the public, and we thank you. And we're asking for this because it's consistent with our mandate to provide these assistance in times of disaster and conflict, which is not funded by governments or municipalities. And so we thank the GNSO for considering this special request and look forward to moving to protecting our important organization. Thank you.
Konstantinos, I believe you're next.
Thank you. It is just a question which I might be mistaken, I might not understand, and it's a question to Debbie. Is there any reason why the International Red Cross has not made that request, and instead that request came from the U.S. branch? Thank you.
Actually, we're working in conjunction with the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. I was asked to take the lead because I'm a GNSO counselor, but we have consulted with them. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we've got another question, follow-up to your statement in the Adobe chat room. Bill Drake asks, Debbie, let me be more specific then. everyone supports the Red Cross, and we know there's a treaty, but why are the mechanisms defined in the AG not sufficient to your purposes? So if you could answer that question.
Certainly. In times of disaster, the level of fraudulent activity increases as third parties attempt to confuse the public in order to divert funds intended for the Red Cross Red Crescent movement. It's a shame to ask our organization to divert donated dollars to stop the fraud that unfortunately occurs during these important times. And to be able to serve our community, we are asking for these special permissions. Thank you.
Okay, so I think everyone is against fraud and everyone wants to help people, but why are the mechanisms defined in the AG not sufficient for your purposes?
Okay, so I'll be specific. Whatever the total amount that's going to be required to participate in the URS would be me taking or the movement taking money from donated dollars to protect against fraud.
So okay, money. Okay. Did anyone else have any questions? Want to speak on this issue? Okay.
This is Wendy, and I just want to be very clear that in discussing this this issue, I think all of us unanimously have been supportive of the important mission of the Red Cross, and we are trying, I hope, all in good faith to figure out how this request fits into ICANN's policy making and how we can support these mission-related issues and the processes that ICANN needs to develop. So I hope we'll be able to do both of those things.
David, please.
And just one, yeah, David Cake. Just wanted to make one really brief comment. I think agree with Debbie's assertion that this isn't an issue where we really need to worry about precedent. There are, as far as I can tell, you know, a very small number, possibly only two organizations that we are having to consider in this manner that are protected by essentially a global treaty.
Did anyone else have anything on this particular issue? Because if not, I'm afraid we're going to have to cut the meeting. One more question here. Could you please state your name?
Hi, this is Michael Carson from the YMCA of the USA. I don't have a question regarding the issue. I have a question regarding the issue that's not on the agenda. So I understand that there's time constraints, but this issue is important. I believe not only to the reputation of the members of the MPOC, but also to the reputation of ICANN. I'm here because I've been a part of a listserv as a member organization, and quite frankly, it's a little alarming to me some of the conversation around MPOC members. So there's two issues that have not been addressed, and I don't understand why they're not on the agenda, because they're pertinent issues for the MPOC to move forward in the things that we have already laid out and planned to do, and that is the denial of members by some of the NCSG members, as well as articles and other documents that have been produced to the public to basically delegitimize MPOC. So I understand that there's time constraints. I understand we need to move to another meeting. However, I think those issues are important, and they should be raised so that I, as a representative of the YMCA, also as a member of MPOC, and we have other organizations that are sitting by, frankly, and waiting to find out what's going to come out of this ICANN meeting. And they really don't understand why their organizations are being questioned by one or two individuals as to their legitimacy, and also they don't understand what's going on here. And really from a reputational standpoint, they're quite frankly appalled also. So I think that needs to be addressed. If it's not addressed here, I think we should at least address it to the board. There is a letter to the board. We feel that the MPOC, at the MPOC, that we should get some type of response from the board, not, you know, not emails or anything circulated about what the board might do, but some type of response from the board to those issues. So however you would like to address that, I would appreciate some comments on that.
Okay, so we've only got a couple of minutes, and I basically have a couple of comments. I agree with you that we absolutely have to have a long and serious and engaging direct conversation on these issues, but that requires one time, and as you noted, today we only have an hour, so that this probably isn't the time, since we've got things we need to vote on this week. And two, you have to request that it make its way into the agenda if you would like to see it in the agenda. A draft agenda was sent out several days ago, and so, you know, if you want to add something to that, if you, there's a particular topic that you think is really important and isn't in there, you need to make the request to please add it to the agenda. So, but I take your comments very seriously, and I think it would benefit all of us in the NCSG if we could please put these differences and past blood, bad blood aside, and try to sit down and talk through these issues and work through these issues, because I suspect there's a lot of we could benefit a lot from just hearing each other's perspective and hearing the experience that we've had in the past and learning about what it is that we're trying to get at and what our concerns are.
Right.
So I think that's the answer.
I understand your point. However, there are really only two issues that are under one main issue. And the one main issue that I'm concerned about, because I have to meet with, again, with the leadership team of the YMCA and others, you know, you're going to Africa for a week, you're going to, you know, they're already suspicious of ICANN. You want us to be a part of this nonprofit organization. Why should we be a part of this organization? What's going on? So there are also other organizations that are represented by, you know, a number of prominent attorneys have been hired by these organizations to because they want to be they want their voice to be heard, but quite frankly, they're concerned. And for me to go back to say, well, we didn't get it on the agenda, there are a number of issues that were on the agenda, this issue has circulated, have been circulating on the listserv, and there have been comments throughout this entire weekend, is again quite alarming to me, because this was an issue that isn't new. This isn't an issue that was just brought up today. This is an issue that's been brewing. So I'm really not concerned about any past relationship issues. What I'm concerned about is, what do I tell the YMCA and other other MPOC members who are waiting, who are sitting by wondering why their applications are being denied, that we came here, we've been here almost going on 4 or 5 days, and I'm to say, well, we can't accept.
Yeah, I think we get the point. Let me respond, and then we have to end this. So, according to Section 2.4 of the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group Charter, which NPOC agreed to, one of the specific roles of the NCSG Executive Committee is to resolve disputes within the between various constituencies.
Right.
So that's. That's the first. So please let me continue. So what I would like to propose is that we have a meeting to discuss this issue and to really work through all of these issues and try to build a bridge so we can begin to have much better communications. And frankly, I think that it would start with, you know, really direct engagement. If we can just sit down and talk to each other or on the mailing list for those of us who aren't here in person, I think we just have to engage, basically.
I propose
that we have a meeting specifically for this topic so we can address this issue in a serious amount of time, in a serious way, which unfortunately, given today's one-hour deadline and all the various issues we have to talk about, is just not possible in today's meeting. And I know you've sent a letter to the board, and the board can respond to you as they will.
Okay, so
it's up to them.
We have 3-4 more days before the conference is over. Can we? Because quite frankly, before today, this is the first time you and I have said anything to each other. And this issue's been brewing. So can we sit down before this?
Yes, let's sit
over?
Down this week. Let's definitely do that. Let's sit down this week.
So what day should we do it? So
tomorrow works for me. How about you?
Okay, tomorrow. What time?
I need to look at my schedule, but
okay.
Let's figure all that right. out. We're really short for time now. We're supposed to be somewhere in 6 minutes with the board. We don't want to keep the board waiting. But first, let me get Maria a comment.
Hi, my name is Maria. I just want to respond to some of the comments you've been making. I think it's fantastic to see you here from the YMCA, and I accept that you may be not interested in anything further than the 2-month past or the 3-month past, but there are many people in this room and in this organization who've been working here for 7, 8, 10 years
right.
who are very, very invested in this
right.
and who, you know, frankly, you've been frank with us and I want to be frank with you.
Mm-hmm.
When you come and join a new organization, there are ways of acting, there are ways of respecting. My apologies. Sure. I think I wasn't getting the direction right. When you join a new organization and want to be able to influence that organization, there are ways of acting and there are ways of participating, of listening,
right.
of respecting the people and the processes and the culture that is there already. And in an inside the beltway kind of world,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to hire a lawyer and have them come and talk to you. But this is a global organization, and the behavioral norms, they are different.
Right.
So people want to see you kind of can't just, to be blunt, like you can't just turn up and start demanding things.
Right.
Debbie is working in the system and is a really valued person here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all need to be aware that we all have to make the investment. And if you want to work with people and get results, I think you need to work with the people who are here in the way that they work.
May I respond to
that? Sure, please.
Okay. I take your comments to heart. Forgive me, I didn't want to appear to be blunt or appear to, but sitting back as an organization over the last few months, the emails that I'm receiving as a part of this group have been alarming. The comments, the things that have made, the things that have been said about NPOC, they're alarming. And for this issue to not be on the agenda when a letter has been sent to the board, and I understand that the letter was sent to the board, but for this issue to not be addressed for a new organization that, as I was told today, was ICANN's first constituency in a number of years, for it not to be addressed, again, is quite alarming. And we have members who are sitting in limbo who can't understand why their organization is being questioned.
Okay, well, I think the board is going to be alarmed with all of us if we don't make our way over there really fast.
So
I'm
going
to have
to
pull this meeting to an end here, and we can certainly pick this up. In fact, if you have an issue with the board, you should speak with the board. So that, which is where we're going to now, and this is one of the issues that I know you've requested are before the board. So here's your big chance. All right, see you all over at the board meeting. Thank you.